Good morning. It's a real blessing to be with you this morning. I trust that you'll be blessed and inspired as you just think about the work of Bible translation and also the transforming power of the Word of God in your own lives and also in the people groups way beyond the seas. So it's a great privilege to be here. And as you can hear, I'm from South Africa. I lived in the UK for 3.5 years. And on Thursday, I received my official citizenship. So I'm actually a dual citizen now, but I am a member of the British Empire. So it's a real blessing to be a part of what God is doing in the UK and really trying to motivate and inspire the church to get involved and to keep getting involved with missions until every tribe hears the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language. So I'm going to, before I share from the Word and just share a little bit of a PowerPoint about our work, I'm going to ask Julie just to share a few words of testimony about some of the dramatic events that have happened in our lives while we've been missionaries. So I don't know if Julie can just use that lectern there.
Hello. Is that good morning, everybody. It's really good to be here today. I'm going to share with you something that happened while we were missionaries in Malawi, and it was actually last weekend was the anniversary of it happening 16 years ago. So although it's an old testimony, I believe it's very powerful and relevant for us today. It was Saturday the 15th of February when my children, I had two children at that time, they were playing on the lounge carpet in our home in Blantyre, Malawi, when two men came bursting into our front door. They picked up my son, who was only 14 months old at the time, and started to run off with him out the house. So as you can imagine, we weren't going to let that happen without a struggle. So there was a struggle. But unfortunately, they were stronger than we were, and they managed to run off with him. The last I saw of my son was him being dangled by one ankle upside down and his head hitting against a flower pot as they ran down the garden and through the flooded stream at the bottom. We were in absolute shock. It was Malawi, so there wasn't fuel in the police vehicles. Our phones weren't working, and mobile phones had just come to the country, and but it had run out of power. We didn't have time to charge the mobile phone, so we were completely stranded on our own, and we were living outside of town in a village nearby called Sigirege. And anyway, so on the way, we were sort of like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we don't know what to do. So in that process, our neighbors were informed of what had happened. And then we went off to tell the police. And on the way, we came across some friends who we also told. So those friends got their friends, and they got the neighborhood watch, and they got the businessmen in town, and they all came together that Saturday afternoon and evening and in a friend's office and said, okay, well, we're not going to let this go without us getting involved. And they had ideas, and one person was ready to go off that way, and one person wanted to do this, and someone else came and said, I don't really know what I can do, but I can make tea and sandwiches. And and so that night I was all on my own at a friend's house, and everyone else was out doing something, and I felt like I was doing nothing. And so I turned to God's word, and he gave me Psalm 34. That's my favorite psalm, by the way. I will praise the Lord at all times. Well, I said, actually, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So I really, it was one of those passages that just hit you in your heart, you know? And so I phoned Barry at this office that they were calling the command center to tell him and to read the psalm to him over the phone to encourage him and everyone with him. And they were encouraged, but then they encouraged me and they threw me a rope because Barry said to me, the CEO of Toyota Malawi at that time was a really strong Christian, and he had taken charge, as take charge people do, and he had written on this whiteboard Operation Jonah. And a friend of ours has written the book about what happened. And I heard that Operation Jonah and the fact that all these people were coming together to help me. I just felt, wow, and I can hang on to this. And it became my rope that kept me going with hope. And, of course, God's word. His word also says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a light to my path. So that was what kept me going. But all those people, even the people who made the sandwiches, I want to tell you that they were part of a miracle. So this friend who's written this book, she's written it as a story because there were too many people to write down what everyone did. So she's kind of consolidated everything into a few characters and tried to make it understandable and readable. But she's donated all these books so that from anyone who would buy one of these books, the proceeds go to buying Bibles for people around the world so they can also hear those words, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if you'd like to come, there's a table over outside there and buy a book. All of the proceeds will go to giving people the Bible in their own language. Don't you love cliffhangers? Anyway, so I want to invite you to be part of a miracle of God. Okay, you can be part of God's miracle by getting involved. It might not be Bible translation. It might be just making tea and sandwiches for someone who's in shock or upset, or it might be something even bigger and grander. But I would like you to look out for the opportunities to show Christ's love and be part of his miracle. So if you want to know the end, come and see me afterwards at the table. Thank you.
Right, thank you, Julia. It's been a wonderful privilege to be involved in Bible translation for 30 years, up to 20 years now. And certainly that particular kidnapping event that took place in our lives was just before we were completing the New Testament in the Sena language. And I believe it was a real attack of Satan on our work and our family. But thank God that he does miracles in our lives, and we're here to share the glory of God and the testimonies that God does as he keeps us in his work and the work of God. So I'm just going to quickly tell you a bit about, I have been blessed with, we have three children. we worked in Malawi for 10 years. I qualified as a dentist in 1986. Had an accident in 1982, which actually paralyzed me from the chest down. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in my message and how I was able to get through that through the power of God's word, sustaining me. But it transformed my whole way of thinking through the accident, and we went to Malawi as missionaries. And I thank God that in 10 years we translated the whole Bible in the Sena language, which that was the day of the launch when the full Bible was given to the Sena people. So we left Malawi after that and then went to Tanzania for 5 years, where we started 10 Bible translation projects just in 2 years through training nationals and getting a whole bunch of translation teams started at one time. And then we handed the work over to nationals in Tanzania, and I came with my family to the UK about 3.5 years ago. So we're in the UK to try and mobilize the church to pray for and get involved with Bible translation. And I'm excited that you as a church have a missionary couple that you are praying for and sending and supporting full time in the work of Bible translation. So, and then my role for the last 3 years has been to raise funds for projects in Africa, India, and in Eastern Europe. And the one thing that I did in August 2011 was I hand cycled from Land's End to John O'Groats. And you can see me there pretty low to the ground. It's great fun going downhills, but it's pretty hard work going uphills in a hand cycle. But thank God he gave me the strength to go through that 1,000 miles. It was a fantastic experience. And we raised about £25,000 for the Word for the World. And as a result of that, during the time of my hand cycle, my name was put forward by a friend to nominate me to carry the Olympic torch, which I was privileged to do through the town of Bedford. So that was a great honor and blessing to be involved in the Olympics. And then also, because of my few little sporting activities and so on, I was also privileged to carry the Paralympic flame around the Bedford Stadium. And that was because people saw the passion that I had for sport, but also for Bible translation, for a charity. And I'm very grateful for the way folk in the UK respond to charities and are willing to give towards charity efforts. So the Word for the World, our passion is that God's Word should be available in everyone's heart language. And our vision is quite an interesting vision statement, where it is for the glory of God through transformed lives by the power of the Word in everyone's heart language. And the church has always been most effective where the Bible is available in the everyday language of the people. And that's been proven over and over again. And in Romans 10 verse 14 it says, how can they hear unless they've heard the message? And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So that's the only way we can reach the unreached. And William Townsend, who was that great guy who started Wycliffe Bible Translators, said the greatest missionary is the Bible in the mother tongue, because it never needs a furlough, never gets sick, it's never considered a foreigner. So we want to bring the Word of God to people. And Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it was lovely that, Breeze, you talked about every word. There's a lot of words in here that need to be made available to all the people. The traditional approach of Bible translation over the last 30, so let's say 60 years, has been to send missionary couples into a distant land who learn the language and then translate the Bible for the people. But the translations often took a very long time, sometimes were a bit unnatural, and the people didn't really take ownership of it from the start. But our approach in the Word for the World has been, over the last 30 years, is to train and empower nationals to do the work of Bible translation for their own people, which is also what Breeze mentioned. So there's a tremendous need for Bible translation still in the world. Those are quite some heavy statistics, but only about 8% of world languages have a complete Bible now. Only about 18% added to that have a New Testament. And at least 15% more have one portion of Scripture. And that's just only on more recent times. And then 30% of the other languages is work in progress, together with that 15%. So about 45% of the world's languages are in process being translated, which is an incredible achievement. And Wycliffe is largely responsible for that. They've got over 5,000 missionaries. And Word for the World only has about 20. But we're all doing our part. And then there's still about 30% that has a definite need. It's nearly 2,000 languages that still don't have one verse of Scripture at all. So the need is great. And our vision is, we've combined with Wycliffe in that vision of saying that together with all Bible agencies, every language should have a project started by 2025. And we're working hard towards fulfilling that vision. And our work in Word for the World is first-time translations. In other words, pioneer Bible translations. We also translate the entire Bible when we get hold of a project. We don't just want to leave them with a few verses, but the whole Bible. And then we train mother tongue speakers to translate the Bible for their own people. So currently we have 65 projects worldwide, about 20 in India. And it's great that Stephen Samuel is part of this body of believers, and we've known his brother from India and worked together with Nelson as well in the south of India. But we have several projects in Africa, about 37 projects in Africa. So these 20 Bible translation projects in India are something that we've only been doing for the last 4 years, and our vision is to grow it to 100 in the next, say, 10 years. We have projects in the south, in Kerala, and then also in the north of the country and in the northeast of Tanzania. And we partner with New Life Computers Institute. And then in the northeast India, we partner with Nectar, and we have about 5 projects there. So all of this is through our diploma program, where we train for 4 years students in Bible translation, and it's on-the-job training. And they get a diploma after that, and then they can go to university, which is a correspondence study, and even get to an MA level and a PhD level. And we've been training students in Africa and India to that master's degree level. And one of the things that we've pioneered in the Word for the World is in the area of consultant checking. Because of starting several languages at once, we decided that we should check their books together, because there's great teamwork that can take place, and then the teams work with us. And we can check up to 8 teams together of related languages through consultant checking from Greek into their mother tongue languages, and giving each of them an opportunity to see how others have done it and then improve their translations. So that's been very effective, and it improves the quality and the speed. We also, obviously, once we've published, got the scriptures translated, we want to get it into the hands of the people. So we do portions of scripture, distribute New Testaments, and we put the Gospel of Luke into a visual format, the Jesus film, in all of our projects, as well as put it onto audio version, so that illiterate people can get access to the Word of God. But also the internet and MP3 players are becoming a very popular means by which people hear the Word of God. Literacy is another big part of our work. We have 8 literacy programs, and we are developing more and more literacy work. As people get portions of scripture available, we teach them to read. So all things are possible. Even though this work is huge, and the first thing that we really need is prayer, and then partnerships with other local churches and churches around the world and Bible agencies, and then the provision of God through major donors and even the widow's mite, people giving towards Bible translation. So we ask you to pray for our work, and we've got a little list out there. If you could put your name and address if you'd like to know more about what we do. If you'd like to become a financial partner on a regular basis or one-off, that's fine. And then we do ministry trips as well, short-term trips onto the field to be involved in distribution of the Bible and so on, showing the Jesus film. Just to remind you that you could grab an Operation Jonah, which would then help us also fund projects. And we are doing a Mary Jones walk in April. It's a 26-mile walk. And our little son Dan is also walking it. He'll be 10 then, 26 miles. That's what Mary Jones did. And she was the one that actually was a Welsh girl, walked barefoot for 26 miles to go and buy a Bible. She saved for 4 years. And that started the United Bible Societies, or the Foreign Bible Society movement, to say we need to get the Word of God more available to people in their own language. So we'd love to keep in touch with you. And our mandate is that as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me, because night is coming when no one can work. We must get the Word of God into every language. So thank you. Now I'd like to just share a few thoughts from the Scriptures with you. And if you can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. We're going to read Romans chapter 16, the last few verses of Romans. And I'm going to be sharing with you some, I believe, amazing thoughts of the power of God's Word in our lives and how it can transform us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. So we're going to start reading from verse 25, just the last 4 verses, where Paul had written this huge book of Romans. It's a fantastic book. It's a real exposition of the whole Bible. It's a summary of the law and the prophets and how it all came together, that God's Word was now revealed in its entirety. So it says, "Now, to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message that I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your word. We thank you for the Bible in our own language. Thank you that I can communicate in the English language and people can hear the word of God this morning throughout this nation and a great part of the world in English. And Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through it, and so that we would be inspired, Lord, that all nations might come to hear this good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so the transforming power of God's word. In my own personal life, I have encountered the transforming power of the word of God. And in our nation, in Britain, God's word has been available. And I thank God for the early translators who gave their lives, like John Wycliffe and others. And then William Tyndale. William Tyndale got as many manuscripts together and he started to translate the Bible. And William Tyndale actually said that every ploughman in England should have the Word of God. And his passion was that it should be accessible and available to the man in the street or the field. And it was actually illegal. The only Bible that was recognized was the Latin Bible. And so that didn't stop William Tyndale. He actually ended up going to Germany to translate there. And when he finally got the Bible, the New Testament, ready, they shipped it across and it got burned. And he carried on doing it, and then he was discovered and actually burned at the stake for heresy, for bringing the Word of God into the English language. But King Henry VIII, who was the king at that time, while Tyndale was being burned at the stake, he made a prayer and he said, "Lord, please open the eyes of King Henry VIII that he will see the importance of the Word of God being made available to the people in their own language." And we thank God that just a few years later, King Henry VIII actually made an edict that every parish in England should have access to the Bible. And now we've had the Bible for 400 years in the form of the King James Version. We just celebrated that, excuse me. And you know what brought the greatest cultural and economic transformation and reformation in the UK? I believe it can be linked to the Word of God. As people began to read, because the word says, the entrance of your word brings light and the unfolding of your word. And I believe that if you trace it back, even throughout the various nations that have risen to power and have gained tremendous academic and even, let's say, technological skills, many Christians have been given great enlightenment, I believe, through reading the Word of God. And I've also done a study in my master's degree that basically people groups that have had the Bible for the longer period of time are directly proportional to the number of people educated and even the wealth of that nation. I believe that the Word of God transforms nations, not just individuals. And it's true of the UK. And it's very sad to me at times when I look around in the UK and think that the Bible is no longer valued. And even in our various laws in the countries worldwide, the Bible's standards are being eroded as we become too clever and secular in our thinking. And great empires have fallen as immorality, corruption, and moving away from the laws of God takes place. So what I like about what we've read in this first verse in Romans chapter 16, it says, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel." And I believe that the only firm foundation in our lives is the Word of God. That is the only true essence of real truth. I grew up in a Christian home, gave my heart to the Lord at the age of 9. My dad was a Baptist minister in South Africa. And he's now retired. He's nearly turning 90 in July. But I grew up in this environment, hearing the Word of God, and I even read it myself every night. And I gave my heart to the Lord at the age of 9. But as I began to get educated and think of my future. And then I managed to get into dental school at university. I also began to feel a little bit like, well, you know, I'm sure I can make my own way in life. And I began to leave God out of my plans. And I began to try and, you know, sort of carve my own way in life. And it was only at the time of my accident, just before I was turning 20, I was in my second year of dental studies. I really thought that the world was at my feet. I was healthy, vibrant, getting this good education, potential for a lucrative career. My world came tumbling down. And I lost my independence, my masculinity. Basically, I was lying on a hospital bed, totally messed up. And I even heard the words of Scripture, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you." That's what came into my mind. And that story is that Jesus was telling the story of a man who was building up bigger barns and saying, "Eat, drink, and be merry. Be at ease, because you have acquired much and now you can relax." And then the Lord said to him, "Your soul will be required of you." And I repented and I said, "Lord, forgive me for being so self-centered, so self-seeking. And please come into my life afresh. Renew me." And I renewed my commitment to the Lord. And instantly I got a passion and a hunger for the Word of God. And I was brought a Bible. Because I landed up in hospital, obviously in a pretty quick way. But my folks brought my Bible to me. And I began to read it for about 2 hours a day. And it truly transformed my life. And the book of Romans became one of my favorite books. And in fact, Romans chapter 8 is the most amazing couple of verses that I'd like just to briefly share with you. How they transformed my life. Because in Romans chapter 8 it says, "All things work together for good to those that love God." And I began to just see my life in perspective, that God had a plan for my life and He could work all things together for good. Of course, I was trusting God for physical healing at that time and praying that God would heal me physically. But He did a greater work in my life. He healed me emotionally and spiritually. He brought a renewal into my life, a freshness, a hunger and a passion for God. He also says, in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, it says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life," and he goes on to a whole list, "nothing can separate us from the love of God. No trial, no hardship." And those words ministered to my soul. I realized that I am more than a conqueror. And then he says in verse 31, it says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And these words built me up. They encouraged me. They kept me going. And they really put my feet on a rock, which is the Word of God. And there are, of course, many other scriptures that I could refer to. But I believe that the Apostle Paul himself, when he was writing these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, had the joy of his salvation. And in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the fact that the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And then we can cry out, "Abba, Father." So God becomes a personal and close friend to us, our Heavenly Father. So in all these things, I began to grow in my spiritual life and had a passion to share the gospel with those around me, even in the hospital. I began to share my faith. And in fact, that became my driving force. I thought, well, you know, I could have died that night, but God's given me a second chance and I want to share the love of Christ with people around me. And Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation." And I have seen many, many people come to faith in Christ. And I thank God that He helped me to regain strength. I got out of the hospital after 3 months and I went back to dental school and I was told I couldn't continue as a dentist. And there was no way. But through prayer and my dad saying to the professor, "Look, man, adaptations can be made. Surely Barry's hands are strong and his brain is still relatively healthy. Surely we can get him get back into dentistry." And praise God, the doors opened. And you know, that was a fantastic opportunity of witnessing. Dental patients are a captive audience. And, you know, there's even a verse, there's a dental psalm. It says in Psalm 81 verse 10, it says, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." So I actually began to share the word of God with all these patients that would come in day after day. And many of them asked the question, well, what happened to you? And I'd be able to share my testimony and how God changed my life through His word and through the love of Christ. And now I have that passion to share that love with you. And I was able to lead many people to Christ. And that growing desire to minister became so strong that I thought, well, I don't want to do the rest of my life doing dental work. I'd like to work on the soul of man. And God led us then to go to a missionary training center. After I'd met Julie, we got married, and we trained for 3 years. And the word that God gave to me when I was really desperately seeking Him for my future and His will for my life was, again, from the word of God. It was in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it says, all of Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And when I read that, my whole sort of soul rejoiced, because the world in some ways had rejected me. That, yes, this man is a loser, he's in a wheelchair, and what's he going to do in life? But God called me a man of God, and He wanted me to become thoroughly equipped for every good work. So He wasn't through with me yet. And I thank God that that call of God, which happened in 1983, just after my accident, stayed with me. And even though I finished my dental studies and worked for a year as a dentist, I then went to this missionary training center. And while I was there, on the first few weeks, a man stood up and said, we've just joined this college and we've opened a school of Bible translation, and I can be able to train you. Within 3 years, you'll be able to translate the word of God into a language that people can then have access to the word. And that really inspired me. It gripped me. And I said, this is what I want to do. This is my calling. And then as we read on in Romans, just those last few sections there, it says that this mystery has been kept hidden. The revelation of Jesus Christ has been kept hidden for long ages past. And I heard that in Africa there were still 1,500 languages without the Bible. And I thought, how long must they wait? And so we went to Malawi and we started this Bible translation project. And after 10 years, which was a fairly record time in Bible translation, we had done the whole Bible, even all consultant checked. So that has become the pattern and the rate and the expectation in the Word for the World, is that we want to complete a whole Bible in 10 years. And now we start projects all over, training translation teams and then consultant checking their work. And at this point now, we just under 10% of the Bible a year has been translated in our 65 projects. So we give God the thanks for that. But the question is, how long must people wait before they hear this wonderful revelation? The good news. And the Apostle Paul grew up as a Jew, and he was in the old, behind, as it were, he was outside the curtain. And when Christ died, that curtain was torn, and we were given access into the Holy of Holies. And not only Jews, but Gentiles as well. And Paul was the one who was called to be a minister of the gospel to the Gentiles. And I feel so inspired by Paul, because he was a man who had such a passion, and he went on all these missionary journeys, and he touched thousands of lives through his own life. And you know what his one dying passion was? In Acts chapter 20, and I'll be finishing in the next minute or so, he said that, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may complete the task of testifying to the good news of Jesus. So that was Paul's passion. And as he penned these words here, we close by saying, so this is the command of the eternal God that Paul himself would be involved in writing the revelation of Jesus through the wonderful letters of Paul that has become part of the canon of Scripture. But he says, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. And I believe that the work is not finished until all the people groups hear the word of God in their own language. And in Revelation we read that before the throne of God there were people from every tribe and nation and language worshipping God with palm branches in their hands, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So we'd value your prayers for the work of Bible translation. and for this couple that's in your church, and for the thousands that are involved in bringing this precious word of God that can transform lives. And I often thought for myself, when I was in hospital, looking back, if I didn't have a Bible, where would I be today? Probably a miserable, bitter, depressed, and possibly even have committed suicide. But through the power of God's word, He transformed my life. And in Romans 12 it says, be renewed. Don't be conformed by the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then you will know what God's will is. So that's my encouragement to you today. Get into the word of God. If you're feeling discouraged or in despair, this will minister to you the deepest needs of your life. And then let's share it to others around us. So I'd encourage you to become a testimony for God to those around you. And then also, not only in this locality, but be involved in missions, praying for it and supporting it to the ends of the earth. So may God bless you. I'd like to just close in a quick word of prayer, and then I'll hand back over to Breeze. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that it has the power to transform our lives. Father, I thank you that each of us, probably many of us, have testimonies of how you've encouraged us through your word, even through the kidnapping of our son. You encouraged us, Lord. You kept us going. And Father, you're going to help each one of us to be complete, made complete, because you've said now that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ. Lord, you're going to keep on using your word in our lives to bring us to maturity. And I want to pray for those people groups that don't have your word, that you'd enable them to get the word of God so that they can be discipled and grow and become members of the body of Christ. So we thank you that this work needs to be done, and pray that you'd bless each of us to help us to fulfill the task. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you this morning.
What an encouragement. It's true, isn't it? As we sometimes may feel ourselves